We're recording.
Well, I don't do optimism. I do well whatever. I don't do maybe someday. I do now or never. And I don't have patience, 'cause I've got a ticking clock. And I don't do closed for business. No, I do a Jimmy lock. 'Cause a promise is a promise, and a promise is to keep. But a squeaky soul and self-control are sold for pretty cheap. So ask me no more questions, and I will tell you no more lies, because I can't promise anything says demise. No, no, no. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I cannot act into being, 'cause I am what I am. I got a better plan. And I don't ask why they cry, then try to deny like some big, strong, tough guy. No, I ain't gonna say hello when all I wanna say is goodbye. 'Cause a promise is a promise, and a promise is to keep. A squeaky soul and self-control are sold for pretty cheap. So ask me no more questions, and I will tell you no more lies, because I can't promise anything but a promise's demise. But a squeaky soul and my self-control are sold for so cheap. So ask me no more questions, and I will tell you no lies, because I can't promise anything but a promises demise.
Wow.
Wow.
Awesome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
This is graphic designer Dave Say.
And we have a very, very special guest with us today. Our friend Amy Penny.
Yay!
Yay! Very special.
And how do you do?
Hi.
What's happening?
Hey.
Amy and I have, we're recording this in the afternoon. We spent the morning and afternoon here at the studio just noodling around, just kind of playing, doing some test shooting. I used it as an excuse just to get her here for the day and hang out and have a lot of laughs and tell a lot of stories and take a lot of pictures.
And we ate a lot of chips.
And we ate a lot of dill chips.
It was yeah, but not just dill. Dill pickle chips.
Dill pickle chips.
This is the best day of my life.
And so we thought we would do a special podcast while she was here and maybe get her to play a couple of tunes and just get to know her a little bit and ask her some probably, hopefully not cliche questions, but I'm sure they'll probably be really cliche. Like the same questions that she has to answer like, over and over.
How do you play guitar?
How does that happen? Oh my God. How did you?
It's crazy.
So hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm so glad to be here, you guys. Thanks. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for that. That was you know, listen to it right next to me. It's like, oh, this is the same woman that made me cry profusely at my wedding. She played Sarah's favorite song, and like I had to hide behind Sarah's head because it was just.
I could not look at
you. I was a mess. I was an absolute mess. That whole thing. It was just.
You'll be glad to know that you didn't hide very well.
Yeah.
I know there's pictures of me. I know.
You were towering over this big red balloon floating over her head.
Oh.
It was awesome. It was a great day.
I know we have like a little time and I want to sort of cover everything and stuff. So all right. So this is what I find fascinating. And maybe I can get you to sing a little bit of the more classical stuff because I've never heard it.
Oh, maybe
How did you, okay. So first of all, like how did you get into music?
I didn't have a choice. I've always known I was going to be a musician. Wow. Like there are things that when I was a kid, I was like, you know, well, maybe I'll, you know, train dolphins on the side, but, you know, like really I always knew I was going to be a musician. When I was really young, I just had a really I had a good ear.
Yeah.
And you remember those little I'm sure they have a name, but you know those little like keyboard things that you blow into it and like you play
harmonium.
Yeah. So I had one of those when I was really little, you know, because you could buy it at, you know, whatever the local Walmart type store when we were that age. And I remember this very vividly. I mean, I was like 2 or 3 years old, and I would sit in front of the TV and wait for the commercials, and, you know, they would play, like, a little thing, and I would quick turn it off and then try to play it back. And I remember, you know, my mother saying, you know, she's like, that's very bizarre.
What are you doing?
That's a strange thing to be doing. So I just, you know, I always had a really good ear for music, and then I just always really liked to sing, and I don't know. I mean, I can't do anything else either, so, I mean, it just kind of made perfect sense. So yeah, and then, you know, when I was in school, I just always, that's just what I did. I just did music.
Huh.
And I took everything else, you know, because I had to. So yeah.
And so now you're trained as a classical, is it opera?
Yeah, classical music.
Do they call it classical or is it opera? Is there a difference?
I have a degree, a bachelor's degree in classical voice, but I really like, you know, studied opera mostly. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of, you know, as a young adult, I didn't really know what I wanted to do in music, but I just knew that I wanted to do music, mm-hmm. and I could make that sound, so I was like, well, it'd be silly not to go into it.
Now, when they say that sound, is that...
That's the big opera.
Crazy opera, yeah. Like deep chest,
wow. But yeah, the kind of sound that, like, you know, will fill an entire room without a microphone, if you choose to do that, you know?
Wow.
So, and because I could do that and I, you know, I had, you know, I was showing some kind of a talent for it. I was like, well, you know, this must be exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Huh. Mm.
And at that point I had started kind of trying to write songs and, I wrote some and they were okay. But like, I think I was just too shy or too self-conscious. You know what? That's what it was. I was self-conscious. And I was like, people aren't going to care what I have to say. So I kind of just, you know, I was like, well, I'll just do opera and sing the words of men that have been dead for 500 years. That makes perfect sense. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there stuff you tried that non-musical that definitely didn't work for you?
Like,
I don't know. Biochemistry? Or
no.
Like, do you have a backup plan?
No, people, everyone listen. I don't know what biochemistry is. So. No. I didn't try anything else. I was a teacher for a while, and I enjoyed that. I was a preschool teacher.
Oh, that's neat.
So that's my, you know, my other thing. I think I would probably be doing that if I wasn't doing music. I really like that, because kids are fascinating people. They're amazing. Like, if you just like sit and, you know, I watch adults interact with kids, and they're, you know, most of the time they want the kid to behave in a certain way, so that's what they spend their time doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit and like talk to a kid, they say amazing things that like are really insightful. And that was my favorite thing, just like sitting and talking to the kids. So,
yeah. But it's like there's no filter on them.
And seriously.
And they're just they're saying what's in their heart, and they're saying what's right on their mind instead of, you know, putting it through these. Like,
right.
Well, what's the social context here?
Right. Or, yeah. Yeah. And they just don't care. I mean, I would always say to the kids, there's a year I had this little boy named Charlie. Oh my gosh, I could have eaten him with a spoon. He was the cutest thing. He was this little round butterball of a kid, and he was just so precious. And he, I would always say, okay, let's line up at the door, shall we? Let's sit down on the, you know, the little circle time thing, shall we? Let's do this, shall we? Let's have snacks, shall we? And he comes up to me one day, and he's exasperated, and he goes, Miss Amy, shall we? Shall we? Who is shall we? Those are my favorite stories. And it was like every day I had a story like that. So anyway.
Wow.
So I love that. That's the only other thing that I like kind of did. Huh. But no.
That's crazy. Like teaching and music. Like
yeah.
Just the different.
And well, what's like, ironic about that is that I can't teach music. I don't know how to
really?
Do that. Really? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I have no idea how to tell someone how to make music. Other than to say like, that sounds bad. Stop doing that. Like that's the only thing that makes sense in my brain is like, just don't.
Hmm. Is it easier to teach classical? Because is it primarily just coming from like here, and it's just a matter of teaching somebody how to
like the you know teaching someone that it is. It's a little easier for me to teach like how to create that classical sound.
Yeah,
but it's a very mysterious thing. I don't quite understand how I do it myself. So it's something that I can't really explain. So other people are awesome at it, and that's probably not a good thing that I can't explain it, but.
That's nuts. So you went. Okay. So you went. So how long did you do classical stuff? Out of college.
I was working while I was in college too. I did a lot of classical singing, like professionally, while I was in school. So when I graduated with my bachelor's, I was accepted to a program in Philadelphia, that was a great, awesome program, full scholarship. You know, just really wonderful. And I went there. And I was there for a very short period of time. And that was when I realized that I didn't want to do just classical music full time, which was kind of a strange place to be because it was such a great program and it was very prestigious. And there were a lot of people, you know, there were six of us who were accepted that year. I was one of six of, you know, hundreds of people who auditioned. So, you know, to be in that position and then to say, oh, hey, no thanks. I mean, that was a test, but at the same time, the fact that I knew that I had to do that, even though it was going to be hard, I was like, this is totally the right decision. And as you know, I probably would have had some success in that field, but I don't look back and
your heart just wasn't in it.
Yeah, and to this day, I don't regret that decision at all. Not at all.
But it's like, but you can still do it.
Yeah.
So like, I always thought it was kind of cool, like when Jewel was first starting out, she was doing her whole singer-songwriter Crooked Tooth thing.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while, she would bust out her yodeling chops.
Right, right.
And it was like, whoa, wait, huh? Where'd that come from?
Right, right, right.
So it's kind of cool that you can still do this, but then if you wanted to sort of like, you know, be like, oh yeah, check this out, and be like, whoa, like you know, everyone would be like,
Yeah, and it's fun, you know, for the last, I don't know, I would say the last 10 years, I did hardly any classical singing at all.
Huh.
But, over the last year, I've been doing a lot more of it. So
yeah,
and it's good because it's kind of scratching an itch that I didn't really know I had. Now I get to do both. I'm gonna totally confess though, it's really nice to feel like a total diva, to just like walk out and I'm like in these beautiful gowns and I walk out and I'm just like, you know, everything's like set up for me and I don't have to like book these gigs. It's like everything's just done and I just arrive and I'm like, I sing and everyone's like, oh, lovely. And then I go backstage and I'm like, I'm done.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's really nice.
And that's like the epitome of diva, right? Like,
it's pretty much.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. Like opera diva.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Huh. Yeah. It's so much fun. I love it.
So now is there a way to like measure your voice? Like, do you have a certain range of opera that you can do, or
I'm a soprano, so which means that I'm the highest. Well,
can you break glass?
You know what? I should have known. Really, that's exactly that's all you wanted to know.
Do you know kung fu?
Vocal kung fu. I don't think I can break glass. But oh my gosh, that would be a ton of fun to try to find that out.
Like kick it up higher and higher.
So that's what we'll do next week.
Where does it come from? Like, it. So is it? Because you're supposed to, I don't even know, like.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you think about the classical singer standing there and they've got their hands like folded in front of them, and they've got their chest puffed way yeah. up and their shoulders are up, and it's like they bend down and take this giant breath and like yell. And, you know, Billy, you know, my husband, he has the same degree that I do. So we both studied classical voice. And one of his teachers always said that singing is just controlled yelling. And I guess it's, maybe it's true on some level. I hope that it's a little more artistic and beautiful than that, but it's a much more relaxed thing than what it looks like for me. I mean, you know, before I go out on stage, I'm always just like, you know, shaking and, you know, just moving my body. So I'm not tense. And, you know, even while I'm singing, all I'm thinking is like, I need to plant my feet into the ground. So I'm not like standing over it, but more like kind of disappearing down into it and feeling like this. I have this thing where I try to feel a string like coming from my spine up through the back of my head. And that way I feel very buoyant. This is a lot of information. But I don't know. That helps me a lot. And I just, you know, and that way it sounds less like controlled yelling, and it sounds more like something that's coming from deep inside of you, like, you know, emotionally. Because that's what really all that matters to me is the emotion that comes through. I spent a lot of years really just caring about my technique.
Okay.
And I, you know, and in the end, I'm like, I don't care about what I just said at all.
Right.
You know, so I've totally turned the page, and now I'm like, you know, if I'm not doing everything perfectly technique wise, I do not care. If it sounds great, and if I feel, if at the end of it I'm emotionally moved, then I'm certain other people will be, and that's all that needs to happen. So
does opera singing have anything like a lot of people know how to do that circular breathing?
Breathing.
Is that because they can stretch those notes out for so long? Is like circular breathing a part of that?
No, it's just really good control of like air control. And that's, you know, some people just can do that. Some people can just hold a note for a long time, and other people just can't, you know, just lung capacity and all that garbage. So
how do you find out like something like that, like that your lung capacity, like you, like I mean, going from yelling to like, at what point, like, were you really young when you knew that you could do this sort of thing? Or was something you got into as you were older?
When I was, you know what, I had a great high school music career experience. High school music experience. My teacher in high school, his name was Rick Hartso, and he was just the coolest guy, because he loved classical music. He learning like great works, we had to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, he was totally like a 60s rocker, like that was his thing. Yeah. I mean, so we did these great, you know, pop concerts where we all played, you know, band instruments. It was totally awesome. But because of the his love of classical music, we did a lot of that in choir. So when I, you know, that was where I first started going like, wow, I'm kind of like, I can kind of sing louder than people if I want to, you know. The nice thing is we had a lot of really great musicians, a lot of great singers in my school. So, and actually a lot of people who are still, you know, they're professional musicians from my, you know, class. And so, yeah, I think I figured it out when I was in high school, and then I started taking lessons my senior year of high school, classical lessons. And yeah. Kind of a weird, I mean, it is a weird thing to like, how do you figure out you can do that? But it just started making sense, I guess.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So now when you were in college, you were doing, like you were singing at open mics and stuff during that time?
I did. I didn't do a lot of that because I was heading more down the path of opera. But I did. I started doing open mics, and I really enjoyed that. And of course, those were the first Lilith Fair years. So everybody loved that. You know, everybody back then totally loved it. And back then, how old am I?
How old are we?
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, it was just like everyone was, you know, covering the Indigo Girls or the Indigo Girls. I mean, basically,
it was all about female singer-songwriters.
Right,
it was all, you know, from Tori Amos to Sarah McLachlan to Abra Moore.
Yep. I mean, then
Michelle Indege Acello.
Yeah. Wow, good. Impressive.
I know my female singer-songwriters of the 90s. Trust me. That was my thing.
See, and it, you know what? It was kind of, I mean, there were so many people. I mean, it kind of, it like spanned like all of the, like over everybody. Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
So it was a really good time to be doing that. But I just really, I was like, I was just so self-conscious. I just, yeah. I was like, it's not something that I'm comfortable to comfortable doing. It's a lot easier to get up in a giant, you know, period dress and wig, you know, and white face makeup and get out there and be somebody else and right. sing than it is to get out there and, you know, sing about the boy
a girl on a guitar
broke up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Were you performing original material back then or?
You know what? Mostly I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you're singing your own material, I guess it must come from within you. It's not like you're, like, I guess the opera's in a way kind of like covering old dead guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like your words are coming out. I mean, like, if I made something and showed it to somebody, like a piece of artwork or something like that, like, that's much harder than, well, here's a diagram of your business processes.
Right.
Your business processes,
right.
not mine. And there's
right.
a kind of disconnect that
yeah.
makes it a little bit easier to do that from me.
Totally. It is. I mean, it took me a long time to, you know, to realize that I could also write words that were moving and that it wasn't just about the voice. I've had a lot of like weird realizations about myself over the years. Like at first I thought people only liked me singing because I was loud. So I was like, huh. You want loud? I will give you loud. And I mean, that was my thing. I was like, just sing loud and everyone's going to totally dig it. And, I can't even remember when it was, but there was actually like a day where I was like, I think people might actually like the sound of my voice. Like they might actually think it's pretty. And I was like, okay, well let's spend a little time on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the same thing with like the songwriting. I had no idea that I could write songs until like one day I just like sat down and was like messing around with the guitar. And I was like, I don't know for sure, but I think I just wrote a song. And then like it's a very strange thing to write a song and not expect that to happen, because I listened to it or like revisited it a couple weeks later and I was like, this, it sounds so silly, but those words are exactly what I meant to say. And I didn't know, I mean, I didn't like anticipate that I was sitting down to write a song, but it's like, wow, that's poignant, you know? and then to like continue to have that experience, it's kind of a mysterious thing that happens and I don't quite know where it comes from, but
wow.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. It's a very different experience than singing opera. Mm. Faux show.
Is that sort of when it was finally like, that's it, like this is what I want to be doing.
Yeah. You know, I had actually took a couple of years off music after I quit the program in Philadelphia. And I was like, I just don't want to. I just, you know, I don't know why I'm doing music. And am I doing it just because I can? Just because I can? I'm like, that's not the right reason. And
right.
So I took a couple years off, and I woke up one day, and I was like, I have to go to an open mic. Like I have to go. And by that time, I lived here. I actually lived. I lived in Hudson, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go. So I had that whole day free, and I went online. I don't even remember what year this was. It was like 2005, 2004. And I went online and I found the closest open mic that was that day, which is down in Lowell. And I at a great place called Capo's, which isn't there anymore, which is a shame because it was cool. But I thought, well, you know what? If I'm doing this, I'm doing it. And I wrote a song that day. And I hadn't written a song in probably literally 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I did. And it, like, I performed it that night, and there's a group there called We're About Nine, which is a great, I think you would really dig them, actually. They're very cool, and they were, I mean, they're pretty successful, and they're still, you know, touring all over the place. And the fact that they were there was just, it was huge, because they were really kind and very complimentary, and they were like, you really need to keep doing this. And I was like, yeah, this is my first open mic in, like, you know, a decade. And they're like, you know what, that's kind of ridiculous, you need to do this more. So that was huge for me. So yeah, it was cool. I mean, kind of a weird thing, and I feel like ever since that day I've been full-time in it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So now how did, cause, so you're with Red Pill Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
is that right?
That's right.
How did they pick you up?
After that day, I decided that I should probably write some more songs. So I did. I started writing more songs and going out and playing more open mics. And I went out and bought you know, I got some recording equipment, and I didn't know what I was... I had no plans for anything. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I just recorded some of the songs that I had written and posted them on MySpace, because kids, that's what we did back in the day.
Way back then.
Yes. And I posted on MySpace, and I had no idea. I was like, I don't know. This is just what everyone's doing, so I'll do it. And just about, like, 3 months later, I get this random message from Lauren, who is now one of my closest friends, and she's my executive producer, and she's like, hey, great music, I'd love to buy your CD. And I wrote back and I was like, oh, that is so sweet that you think I have a CD. I'm like, but I totally don't, but I will keep you posted. So she wrote back and she was like, well, definitely keep me posted because I really love your songs. And I was like, okay, great. So like 3 days later, she writes again and she said, just want you to know, I'm back for my daily listen. And I wrote her back. Wow. I was like, okay, crazy lady, if you like care that much, I was like, I can send you my demos if that's what you want. I'm like, they're just dumpy stuff I did at home. And she's like, absolutely, send me everything you have. And then she said, oh, by the way, I'm with a record label, and they were just starting up at the time. And she's like, let's see what we can do. And I'm like, okay.
What?
But you know what? I didn't though. I was like, okay, whatever, crazy lady. I mean, like, give me a break. Like, the kind of stuff that
she's just throwing out words to you to, like, right, try to be like, oh, well, I'm with a record label, you know, like anything. And you're just off, woman.
I know. And I'm like, and seriously, my first thought was like, oh, this is when the crazies come out. It's like, this is how it works, you know? So I didn't take her seriously at all, except like just a little bit. I was like, maybe, you know, I don't know. I was like, well, I won't like totally like disregard her. And she just kept on. I mean, and I just kept staying in touch. And I sent her the CD and she wrote back and we talked and talked. And then after like 6 months, she invited me out to St. Louis, which is where the company is based. And I realized when I was driving and I was in Ohio, I was like, oh, great. I'm driving across country to meet people I met online. This is so safe and awesome.
Who say they have a record agent? You know,
right. They're like, come over. We have a pony for you.
Come back here. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the basement.
I know. And I'm driving and I called my mother and I'm like, Mom, why didn't you stop me? Like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I have a husband at home who was just like, bye. Have fun. I know. So
that's
just
awesome.
Weird. I mean, just so weird, but you know, everyone's alive, so it's fine.
Wow.
We're just like, everything's cool. I mean, and really they're like, you know, they're like family to me now, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so you've got two albums with them.
Soon
to be three, because you just finished a new one.
Yeah.
A Christmas album.
Yeah, a Christmas album.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really soon, like probably the next month, I would think it'll be in my hands.
Wow.
Not a month. Yeah.
And you're
going to
be going on tour with Tim Janis.
Tim Janis, yeah.
And that's why you did the Christmas
and that's
record.
Yeah, that's why, you know, that's, I've been wanting to do a Christmas album for the longest time, but because I'll be going on tour with Tim, you know, I'm gone for like 3 full weeks with him and we're playing every night, and I'm like, for me to not have a Christmas album would just be the dumbest thing. So yeah, we just went way out of our way to make sure it happened this year.
That's awesome.
So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yep.
We're at 28 minutes right now.
28
Holy,
minutes.
Who's doing all the talking? Oh, that would be me.
This is great. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you're just hanging out.
Awesome.
Do you want to keep it to 30 and we can ever sing another one out? Or
it's up to you.
Yeah?
That might. This is just going up as is.
All right. Let me see. Well, what else? We should plug her so that people go to her website.
Yeah.
And so give us all the information about how everybody can reach you at all the different places.
Okay.
And,
definitely amypetty.com. That's where all the important stuff is. Go there. And then you can find my music. You know what? Google me, kids. I'm all over the place. And also, like, I'm on iTunes and Amazon and all those different places if you want to hear the music. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook. So find me there, Amy Petty Music. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you've got all kinds of gigs coming up.
I do.
Like local stuff.
Yep,
Nantrin,
lots of local
Massachusetts.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. All over the place. And I'm
stuff.
Just going all over the place. So yeah, all my dates are on the...
Because we're trying to get her to Studio 99. We're trying to get her to like do a whole bunch of stuff at Studio 99.
I know. I'm going to do it. We're going
to... I so badly want to like squish the two of them together and be like, no, Amy Petty's like the in-house musician. You can see her like every other Thursday night from, you know, like 7 to 9, and she's just going to hang out and play. And like, you know, this is where my little fantasy world starts to all, like, right, happen.
Yeah, I'm seeing you drawing a little tiny school bus painted with a project.
Yeah, you know, like, half the size. Like, every other Thursday, you'll just be there, and we'll be there, and we'll hang out, and we'll, like, you know, just hang out and listen to music.
That would be cool.
I'll totally be like Phoebe.
Smelly cat and everything.
I'm going to learn that and cover it.
That's a great song.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
You're choked up.
I'm joking over here. I'm like, oh my God, what a genius.
All right. I screwed up the recording. Yeah, I think we're back. Okay, we're good.
We're good.
I think we're good.
We're good.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, so I guess we're going to wrap it up. We don't want to go too long. So please go visit her. Go buy her stuff. Come and see her live.
Yay.
She's awesome.
Yay.
And stuff. And I just want to say what a pleasure it's been since we've been hanging out. Yay. And Yay. Like instant friendship.
For real.
It had been a little while, and the first time we met, it was like two old friends meeting for the first time. It was kind of like when you met Colleen the other day.
Yeah.
You know, it was just instant, like, boom.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to, and not to get all gushy and stuff. I'm looking forward to working a lot with you in the future. Down the road.
We will.
And stuff. But, well, thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for this.
Please visit her stuff, and I guess she'll sing us out, and we will see you next podcast.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Here's the picture, blank on your horizon, waiting for the day to make its kill. It's still early, and my thoughts are not all gathered, and my confidence is rather still. Well, I would love to have a different kind of day, a different kind of day than I am used to. Kind of day that makes me feel so tall and hollow, like I don't care if tomorrow ever comes. You move alongside, you move alongside, and step out of the shadow of the minute hand. 'Cause I'm you have much more on your shoulders, and maybe when I'm older, I'll understand. Well, here's the picture, it's of jaded suppositions and empty benedictions, but I don't know. To find a feeling and a love that leaves me reeling, and a little bit like healing, but I don't know. I would love to find a different kind of day, yeah, and a different tidal wave, and ride the breakthrough. The kind of day that makes me feel on your horizon, and
I'll remain still.
Yeah. Yeah. Amy Petty, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you later.